guys. How's everybody doing? Still getting used to this setup. People in the front row. Very close, very intimate. I don't hate it. JFK is still dead. No big surprise there. Well, I'm bringing the energy down. That's probably a mistake. I don't know why I'm doing that. That's a shame. I see some hummus. Guys, just a couple things. November 3rd, Washington, D.C., at the Anthem. Pod Tours America. The Pod Save America show is sold out. There's a few tickets left for Love It or Leave It, the late show. And, you know, why would you miss that? It'd be a huge mistake. Also, we have a new website, crooked.com, and I want to thank Red Antler, the company that raced against the clock to put together a really awesome website. How many of you guys have been checking out crooked.com? Yeah. That's good, because that's also the place where you can buy merch. And last but not least, a reminder to follow us on Facebook. As you know, Love It or Leave It is locked in a kind of war of attrition with the baby boomer generation on Facebook. You know, millennials, we have the numbers, but they have the passion. And they were here first. They know the lay of the land. You guys ready for a great show? Very excited about our panel tonight. He is a Chicago actor and comic. You've heard him on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Please welcome Brian Babylon.
This is when they talk about American ingenuity and get up and go and making shit happen, this is what you're talking about.
You're talking about a policy podcast at the Improv on a Thursday night.
Yes. You are like a little small business making things happen. Employing people, taxes, revenue.
Hell yeah.
Fuck that, man. You're doing it.
You've seen her work on MTV, Spike TV, the site formerly known as Fusion, which is like, I guess, the artist formerly known as Prince, all over the internet. What was that gasp? I'm just happy it happened. I'm letting it go. She's a writer, comedian, YouTuber, host of GK Now, and one of Crooked Media's newest contributors. Please welcome Akilah Hughes. Akilah, how are you?
Honestly, I'm so jet lagged. If this sucks, it's because of that.
Where are you coming from?
New York. I'm bringing the energy down. I see some hummus.
He's a British comedian on Bounty Hunters. He has a show called Travels with My Father and a new stand-up special on Netflix. Please welcome Jack Whitehall.
Good evening. American politics. This could be a tricky night for me. I'm not going to lie. Cricket.com, I thought that was about the sport. That's why I joined up for this, and it's not. I've confused that.
You know what's interesting? For us, this is all a real night that's happening, but you just woke up in a nightmare. You're still asleep on that flight, because There's no way you would get off a plane and come immediately to a podcast in front of a live audience at a comedy club about the intricacies of American politics. It just seems impossible.
No, I on normally do. Whenever I get off a plane, I'm just desperate to talk about Jim Flake. Jeff.
You know, Jack, I want to tell you something, Jack. I think this,
I'm going to go. Good night. Thank you very much.
No.
Give me the hummus. I'm off.
Jack, I think that what just happened is a learning opportunity, because here's the thing.
Oh, fuck.
Your Britishness and confidence gave you the chance to have all of us believe that you did that on purpose.
Yeah.
And I think, how many of you thought he was being funny about Jeff Flake's name?
I sure did.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's British
the baby boomer saw straight through me.
British humor.
Brian thought it was British humor.
British humor. I'm going to be using that excuse a lot this evening.
Yeah, British humor.
Do we have any British people in the audience? Two guys. I'll be pitching this mainly to you two tonight. Did you come together and then just fall out? Or no.
Speaking of Jeff Flake,
Good old Jeff.
Good old Jim. Speaking of John
Flake. The
artist
formerly known as Jim.
But wait a minute. Isn't, you know, like Bill is Will and Bob is Robert. Is Jeff Jim?
Jeff is never Jim. Jeff is Jeff neither is never, Jim nor never. Jack. It's only Jeff.
Oh.
What a week. So, as our friend from across the pond helpfully noted, Flake is not running for re-election. He did this with some fanfare. He gave a speech on the floor of the Senate where he decried...
Passionate
speech. It was a passionate speech. Where he decried those... decried not only the politics of the Trump administration, but those who are complicit in what the Trump administration does. Clearly a message directed at his colleagues. He also said he's going to spend the next 14 months unafraid to stand up and speak out as if our country depends on it. He follows Bob Corker as the second conservative anti-Trump senator to announce retirement. Last week, Senator John McCain denounced the half-baked, spurious nationalism in politics, which was both correct and overwritten. So... Tim Miller, a Crooked contributor, wrote for Crooked.com a piece about Jeff Flake and his decision to retire. He said, "I am loath to compliment the president ever, but here I have to make an exception. As frustrating as his supporters' deflections were and are, on this point they're right. Trump was willing to fight where my side was not, and we need look no further than the ongoing unilateral surrender of GOP elected officials and donors to see that nothing has changed." He basically points out that Flake decided to retire with dignity instead of go down fighting.
Like Titanic style? Like the guys who were playing the instruments in Titanic? Did he? Does that what people want? Is that what's cool now?
The
Titanic reference got
to you.
With
this metaphor, does that mean the rest of them are like dressing up as women to get on the boat? Yeah.
And babies. Yeah.
Yeah, I did see. Yeah, I do believe Marco Rubio put on a bustier and one of those old-fashioned life vests and just got on that boat and sat down and said, "We will deal with this tomorrow." You live today, Marco. You figure out a way to explain this tomorrow.
I feel like most of the Trump administration would be the people hurling women and children out of the life raft to make room for their luggage. That's
real.
Yeah.
Akilah, I'll start with you. So we've seen these retirements, but as Trump pointed out when he spoke to the Senate Republicans this week, he got a standing ovation. The vast majority of Republicans are still with him. Do we think that...
He got a standing O?
He got a standing O. Well, it was a great set. And he did. He got a standing O. He said he likes most of the people in the caucus. Mitch McConnell walked him in, you know.
He walked him into like the...
To the Senate. They had a lunch. They had a nice lunch. And they, you know, they spoke and there was lots of applause and there was a standing ovation. Do you think that Flake, Corker, McCain, that this represents some kind of a breaking point? Or is it retirees say their piece, but the rest of them won't? What
I
do you think?
I gotta say, like, my existential dread is telling me that this is not a... Like, I think people will do it. And I think that maybe Jeff Flake is gearing up to run for president. I think that it's not... I don't think that it's a greater commentary on, like, the Republican Party getting woke. I think they're mostly just like, yeah, shit looks bad, and the money's just not that good.
So you think it's nothing's changing?
No. And like I told you guys upstairs, full disclosure, Jeff Flake is my friend.
Jared Flake is his friend.
Yeah. Jeff Flake is my friend.
Jeff Flake is your friend.
Jeff Flake is my friend. He did the Wait, Don't Tell Me show with us in Arizona. We chummed up then. He's one of my 1% of friends in politics that I can go to that makes me feel cool. I'm his one black friend, makes him feel cool.
It's the one he
references. It's a nice symbiotic relationship. And I told him 3 years ago, I was like, yo, man, you could fucking be president, dude. And I cursed, too, because I was a little high. And I was like, no, because you are the kind of white man that doesn't creep minorities out. Like, because, you know, he's, for me, and I have some friends in Arizona who might think different, but he's a Republican that you'd be like, fuck it. he doesn't creep you out like a lot of those dudes. I mean, he's your average uptight white guy, but he's cool. I just posted it on Instagram. I showed you a picture. Like, we're buddies. And if you remember this about Jeff Flake, back when they had that shooting spree at the softball game, he was saving lives. So he a hero. Cool with minorities, in my opinion. not bad looking. Like you say, he has a little
McConaughey
right? in the face.
He could get it.
I think
what is happening at this show?
I'm sorry, what are we talking about?
Yeah,
I want to thank everyone here for coming to our Jeff Blake fundraiser. Yeah. Give what you can. You can be a $200 flaky, a $500 friend of Flake. For $1,000, you're a panko breadcrumb. I don't know what another kind of flake is. This took a turn.
You're thinking about things different, man.
I'm thinking the same, I think. No, okay. I've changed. You've changed me. So, but look, one of the criticisms of Jeff Flake has been that for all his talk, he wrote a book and he went on a book tour to be anti-Trump. There was very little tangible effort on his part in the Senate to hold Trump accountable. And that now he faced a choice, which was basically lose or retire.
You think he would have lost?
Yes, he's a very low approval rating in Arizona. It seems like he was unlikely to win the primary, and if he made it out of the primary, I think he would have faced a tough general election. I think that's the calculus, and I think a criticism of Jeff Flake, and I think it is fair to say, look, I disagree with Jeff Flake on policy grounds up and down the board when it comes to standing up to the temperamental calamity that is Trump, the kind of character flaws that make him unsuitable for office. He has been good on that issue when so many others have completely failed and capitulated. But that being said, it shouldn't take deciding you're not going to face re-election to tell the truth.
When should he have done it? When would you have done it?
When
would have gone against Trump, like day one?
No, I would have been a coward and waited.
Yeah.
I definitely would.
Well.
And I also wouldn't. He wrote a 17-minute speech, which is a lot of commitment, knowing that you'll get a tweet back. Like that's
real.
So beyond, look, you're managing his presidential campaign, and we didn't know that till we got here. Uh-huh.
But you know, one thing I want to say is, like, you know, one thing I do like about the Brits is
just one, though.
Just the one thing.
Just on one hand, I can name things, but this one is how springerish your politics get. Like, how you guys get really like, fuck you, no mate, fuck you, blah, 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 blah. And you get a lot of...
It was like being back home.
That actually raises a good... I actually wanted to ask you about this. You know, we're watching kind of the infighting within the Republican Party in the U.S. There's been, obviously, debate in the U.K. over Brexit. How does our Republican nonsense compare to conservative nonsense?
Yeah, I mean, yours is far more of a circus now at the moment compared to ours. And there's lots of infighting in the Conservative Party, but it's all quite British. Like, Boris Johnson everyone wants to get rid of Theresa May, but she's still there inexplicably and has been there for, like, I don't know how she's still the Prime Minister. But no one ever does anything or says anything publicly. It's all sort of behind closed doors and
very British.
Well,
that sounds familiar.
Yeah. I have a question. What about Lord Buckethead?
Lord Buckethead.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever happened to Lord Buckethead?
Honestly, man, I'm
unfamiliar with this concept.
What is happening?
Lord Buckethead.
He was real.
I actually wrote some speeches for him. I don't know
what are we even talking about?
What?
Lord Buckethead. He ran in
there. You heard of him?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you not know about Lord Buckethead?
Lord Buckethead was a... I don't know if he was a superhero. I don't know if he was like a mutant gone wild. But he ran for parliament. He has a bucket on his head and a cape.
Yeah,
he's like Batman, but different.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all like Batman.
He was a guy with...
Right? Am I making this up?
No, he was a guy probably with some mental health issues who wore a bucket on his head and ran for election. And is probably more electable than your president.
Well, I was going to say, I think he's winning the race for Senate in Alabama now.
No, that's just a bucket with a head in it. Yeah, man. Things are crazy down in Dixie.
So
Jordan Flake.
Sorry.
Jordan?
Policy.
Jordan
Flake.
I have to get this show back on the rails.
Let's get this.
It's
going fabulous.
Yeah.
Remember, we're having a great time up here.
True. I'm positive.
Whilst we're in a good mood, should we have one of the other things you like about the British?
Oh.
That's too long.
When we come back, a segment called OK Stop.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up. The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
And we're back. Now for a segment called OK Stop. Here's how it works. We're going to watch a video. And when we feel the urge, we say OK Stop. It stops and we talk about it. This week, there was a lot of news around the funding for a dossier. I just don't have the emotional strength to get into the nonsense. But you all know the story. There was this crazy dossier. It referenced a lot of shenanigans and illegal dealings on the part of Donald Trump, the current president. It also made reference to a certain tape of the micturation variety. It's been known for quite some time that it was at first funded by Republican donors when Trump was in the primary, then funded by Democrats. After Trump cinched the nomination, it came out this week that it was funded by the law firm that represented Hillary Clinton, and there's some consternation as to whether they were honest about that. Anyway, Donald Trump found this to be interesting. He sat down with a man named Lou Dobbs, and they talked about it. Let's watch the clip. Oh, wait, don't start the clip. Is that hissing? Brian.
Yeah.
Akila.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
I've talked to them about the hissing.
The hissing?
They hiss sometimes. That.
Because of the film?
Because of the nature of politics in 2017.
Oh, I thought it was a reference to the film. But the Trump film. I thought it was hissing like
the
sound.
Oh, like peeing.
Yeah.
You know.
I thought they made that every time.
They weren't hissing. They were pissing. You know what? Benefit of the doubt for all of you.
That was improv.
It was improv. It wasn't weird 1930s crowd shit. It was improv.
But you know what? You know the origin of hissing?
I don't.
Well, I feel like you do. Yeah. I feel like we're going to learn today.
Yes. Britain, 1854.
In the vaudeville days.
Number two.
When an entertainer was stinky, the crowd would hiss because they would want him to get on the next train out. Like, it's the steam train out.
Oh.
Now, that was not true. That was just acting. That was acting. I'm working on my acting chops. Let's get this clip started.
That's good.
You don't say when the clip rolls.
No.
I say when the clip rolls.
I know.
Brian,
I know.
Babylon.
I know.
I'm not Peter Sagal. Don't pull this shit with me.
I know. Oh, yeah, he let the slide.
You're now questioning everything. Maybe there isn't a Lord Buckethead. Maybe I was in on it as well.
Improv. Tag team
improv. Oh, the plot thickens.
Tag team improv.
He's never met Jim Flake.
Aquila's. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Wow.
Aquila.
Yeah.
You're going to listen to this podcast back. Trust. It'll be like the first time you watch The Sixth Sense. Okay.
Looking for clues.
Looking for clues.
This is going to be one of those things where you say, wait till you listen the second time. Yeah. As they say about a lot of news podcasts. Let's watch the clip.
That's Lou Dobbs.
Going forward, there's another wall.
And there's a wall that's just fallen between the American public, the Democratic National Committee, and Hillary Clinton's campaign. Right. They funded something called the Trump dossier, which they ballyhooed for some time. We now know who paid for it, the DNC and Hillary Clinton, and one as yet unnamed Republican. You want to
wonder who that might be?
So two things about that. First of all, we knew already that the Democrats had funded after the Republicans did. Second, Donald Trump wants it to be Jeb Bush so fucking bad.
Desperately.
He just so wants it to be Jeb.
He's hard for Jeb.
He wants Jeb to be the secret Republican.
He wants it. He wants it.
I'm just curious how that interview went from border wall. That was the most clunkiest, horrible transition from topics from that border wall. Absolutely. Hey, border wall Mexicans. Hey, what about that dossier? That's what
He said, and he tried with that smooth, like, another wall came down. A wall of us not knowing something.
Like, that's not great.
That's not a real clever thing.
And I gotta
tell you,
open mic stand-up level of segueing.
He's like, what else?
A wall.
and then he was like, oh man, life is crazy. That's what comics say when jokes don't work. Oh man, life is crazy.
You know what? Let's keep rolling the clip.
I think I know, but you know, I'll let them find out. They're going to find out eventually.
It's okay. Stop.
Oh, stop.
It's got a name.
One thing I do not like about Trump's interviews is his interview posture. His whole whatever shitty yoga pose that is that he's doing, and every interview is leaning forward with the hands and a diamond thing, like he's really listening and giving a fuck, and then he just talks.
Okay, don't forget, Hillary Clinton totally denied this. She didn't know anything. She knew nothing. All of a sudden, it found out. What I was amazed at, it's almost $6 million.
Okay, stop.
Who the hell is he looking at?
Yeah, what is he looking at? Someone behind.
You saw that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, his wife is back there like, tell that bitch.
Yeah.
It's a very Trump move, right, to say Hillary Clinton... is that to accuse Hillary Clinton of lying. No one as of now has any evidence that Hillary Clinton lied about knowing where the dossier came from. There is a question as to whether the law firm was honest about where it came from, but no sign that Hillary Clinton was sort of actively pursuing this dossier and pretending otherwise for months. There's no evidence about that.
And on top of that, it's really going to be damning when the P-tape comes out because he's the one who's denying everything. Like, he really can't lead with, denied
that.
You
think there is a P-tape?
Oh, come on, you know it is! You don't think so, but I bet you when it comes out, you're going to have 100 gifts on your Twitter.
Here's the thing.
Don't play.
Oh, man.
Here's the thing.
Donald Trump P-tape sounds the worst.
It is like the mixing of two.
Because it's like,
worlds,
where's that pee coming from? Because it's like little guts going to be coming over there.
A Donald Trump P-tape is a 55-car pileup on the other side of the highway, and try as you might, you will not have the physical ability to keep your head from looking out that window and trying to find the carnage. Now, I will say that this has been a year of incredible disappointments.
Yeah.
And so I cannot allow myself to believe in the P-tape.
It's not healthy.
Because I have been let down by this world too many times, and I am grizzled. And I am like one of those dogs in that experiment where the shocks were randomized, and at a certain point, you just lie down and take them.
Yeah.
Let's keep rolling the clip.
It's totally discredited. It's a total phony. I call it fake news. It's disgraceful. So they spent, if you think of it, almost $6 million on something like that. And I just think it's a disgrace.
Suddenly the House Intelligence Committee, the House Oversight Committee are turning to the Democratic Party and beginning the investigation of something called collusion with the Russians.
Okay, stop. All right. I'm just going to keep saying okay, stop, because I'm just like overwhelmed. Does anybody else like choking on the irony? Like, why would you introduce the idea of collusion with Russians when that's like your entire thing you're trying to avoid? I just feel like it's amateur hour at the Apollo.
No, I think it's a little more sinister than that, because he can't do anything about what he did and what's about to come out about him. But he can make it seem like it's something everybody did, and he's just par for the course. That basically, I mean, that has been what he did the whole, that is how he became president, right? He dragged our entire culture down to his level.
So a P-tape ain't shit.
Right. Right.
Everyone has a P-tape.
Yeah.
Don't
pee.
You?
Yeah, I mean, a P. So what? What? Hillary Clinton pees.
Yeah. That would be like.
Where's the coverage of that?
He pees, yeah.
She pees every day.
Do you think like in the espionage world, if there was a zip file with that MPEG of the P tape, that would be like some James Bond shit, like we must get the microfiche. Remember in the back in the day it was
many,
microfiche.
Many Bothans died to bring us this
information. Yeah.
Your thoughts.
There was no collusion on my side, I can tell you that. Right. Everybody knew it. You knew it.
That looked like a lie. Fuck, stop. That was a lie. Did you see him? That was like, have you seen a 5-year-old? I didn't take the cookie. Did you see that? That was classic kiddie lie shit.
I also would just like to add that the is it Chiron or Chiron? I've never heard that word said out.
Chiron.
There you go. Chiron. Immediately changed to Clinton collusion. Like the person was like, oh yeah, fuck you. It's so stupid.
Oh, the most rabid right-wing person in the country is the person who writes the Chirons for Fox News. That person is lost us.
Lost at sea.
Not in vogue, but I always said, and I had no idea how right I was because I didn't realize it would be to this extent.
Right.
But I always said this was an excuse for losing the election put out by the Democrats, and that's what it was.
Man, he's so petty.
That last part's pretty true. Just kidding. I'm sort of kidding. I mean, it is. It's both true and an excuse. Oh, you don't like it, do you? You don't like it.
I just want you to elaborate. The P-tape? Wait, paying for the P-tape is why we lost?
No, just
I just want to be clear when people ask.
No.
Why did you lose?
It is certainly
true. We spent
all
of our money on a P-tape.
It is certainly true that along with all the other, that we, the massive effort on the part of Russia to help Donald Trump become president is certainly on the list of reasons we rightfully cite that Hillary lost. That's all. I mean, I don't know why I need to end with that point. Bring the whole crowd down. I've lost them.
All right.
This is like hummus really quick.
This anti-Hillary pro flake event is not what you expected.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yikes.
So you're saying.
I mean, worse for me.
So you really believe everybody here? You really believe like Facebook like really pushed it?
I mean, yeah, that's like the data.
I think that over the course of a long campaign, the soup of bullshit from Russia, from the hacked emails that were stolen and then drip, 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 the Comey letter, the efforts by the Mercers through Clinton Cash, everything that was happening at InfoWars and Breitbart, it was a massive disinformation campaign. And the thing about disinformation is you don't really need to coordinate that much. Your fake bullshit and somebody else's fake bullshit doesn't need to match to confuse people. We were conducting this election in a cloud of just steaming bullshit.
Okay, fair and balanced.
And for all the and that includes Fox News too. And so because it was so close, of course it was responsible.
But do you think fair and balanced? I have to say that before I say this. Don't you think like grabbing it by the pussy was worse than all that bullshit? I mean, Trump himself and grabbing it by the pussy.
In America, though, come on.
So you mean you're at your average person in, let's think somewhere like where people get
Kentucky,
like North Kentucky, North Dakota, were like, oh, fuck that. They saw a Facebook post like, fuck, I knew it.
I think there's a complicated relationship between how information affects us and how we choose the information we see and we choose what we want to believe. I think saying that fake news and disinformation sort of pulled the wool over the eyes of a lot of voters, I think, is too simple. That a more nuanced view has to take into account the fact that people do read what they want to read, believe what they want to believe, look for the evidence that confirms their biases, gives them permission. We all do it. We do it too. It's not something specific to Trump voters.
Well, can I just say on behalf of the British a huge thank you? Because after Brexit, we were like, we're going to be the most ridiculed nation on the planet. And then America just went, hold my beer.
USA!
Here's the thing. And what really screwed you guys is Brexit happened, and it should have scared the shit out of us. Yeah. But we don't pay attention to the country. And so we miss the signs. But then
you thought that was a new meal,
right? Yeah. But then
I thought it was a boy band.
I thought it was like a $5.99 deal.
We thought we thought Brexit was a box that had three tacos, Doritos, and a soda for $5.
Real.
But Trump did scare, did have an impact on other countries that woke up to the threat a bit more of the nationalist French. Well, this took a turn at the end there. That's fine.
Should we have some adverts for underpants?
When we come back, a new game.
Don't go anywhere. This is Love It or Leave It, and there's more on the way.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
And we're back. Now for a new game. It is called Vast Right Wing Conspiracy. Next month, the FCC will be eliminating or scaling back longstanding limits on local ownership of TV stations. The order will, among other changes, get rid of the requirement that a television or radio broadcast station use a main studio in close proximity to its city of license, and eliminate the requirement that stations have staff members available at that local studio. It will allow for large TV and radio conglomerates to control more of local markets and get rid of local news presence. Very serious. Boo all you want. According to the Pew Research Center, in 2016, five companies owned 37% of all full-power local television stations. That's companies like Sinclair, Gray, Nexstar, Tegna, and Tribune. One of those stations, Sinclair, is in the process of acquiring Tribune Media, which means it will cover 72% of U.S. homes across 108 markets, including 39 of the top 50. This is a conservative, pro-Trump company. And we are going to play a quiz to see how much everyone here knows about Sinclair and what their growing presence will mean for the country. Would anyone out there like to play Vast Right Wing Conspiracy? Hi, what's your name?
Sandra.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi, good evening.
Thank you for getting a Love It or Leave It shirt.
Thank you for having them.
You look great.
Thank you. I feel great.
All right, good. Have you been following the news about Sinclair and what they've been doing? And
yes.
Their kind of quiet growth and their under-the-surface propaganda in the homes of millions of Americans? All right. Well, then I think you're ready for this quiz. Here's how it's going to work. I'm going to read a question, and it's going to be multiple choice, and each of our panelists will read you an option, and it will be up to you to choose the correct answer. If you get all of the questions right, you will win the parachute gift card.
Yay!
Woo-hoo! All right.
Yes.
Sinclair has something called must runs, short video segments that are produced by the company that station managers around the country are directed to play on the air. Which of the following is not one of those segments? Brian, we'll start with you.
The Bottom Line with Boris Epstein, former Trump surrogate, where he repeats Trump talking points.
On a Sinclair panel show called Town Hall, Your Voice, Your Future, Trump TV surrogate Seb Gorka, fuck him, with a segment about black African gun crime. Literally, fuck him. Do you curse on this podcast?
Whenever you want.
Great.
I shan't.
Oh, wow.
1C. Point Counterpoint, hosted by Sean Hannity. Oh, I have heard of him. He is a fucker. I do know he's not a very nice, a real shit. And Sean Hannity in a mustache. That's not how I normally say a mustache.
That's a joke. That's a joke one. This is an easy first question.
Yeah. Which one is not real?
Yes.
His is not real.
Yes. Sean nailed Hannity. It. You nailed it. Crushing it.
Can I say one thing about Sean Hannity?
Please.
Outside that I hate him. I've always, even back when he was with the Combs, Sean Hannity looks like baby Fred Flintstone. Do you remember the Flintstone kids?
Oh my God.
Look at little Fred Flintstone.
That's correct.
And look at Sean Hannity's face.
Very square heads. Yeah.
Very square heads. Very punchable. Very.
Right yeah. in the face.
And both have prehistoric views.
Oh, very good.
That's a joke.
Woo. Look at that. That's called an alley-oop.
All right. Alley-oop. That was an alley-oop.
You're doing sports so now. Good.
Let's run this clip again just to give people a taste of what happens during the Boris Epstein.
I will tell you firsthand, the president is authentically, truly bothered when our flag, anthem, military, or country are disrespected. Standing up for our national symbols will be immensely helpful to the president and the Republican Party as a whole this year, in next year's midterm elections, and all the way through 2020.
I love the clip.
Why is his voice like that?
What?
Where is he from?
His voice sounds
like he swallowed some bees.
He just.
That's how white people who are Republicans sound.
It's a reminder. No. He has a. He has the worst. It's such a funny. It's an. Like, oh, right. That's fascism, right? He's not there because he was like the most talented guy who came in for the interview. Clearly. He's just a marble mouth dummy that Donald Trump likes.
Marble that's mouth. 10 points, man. That's good. Wow. I'm spitting all over the stage. I love it. Alcohol's great.
Sandra.
Yes.
You are sort of one for one.
Okay.
But we're giving it to you.
I'm here.
Good.
I'm here.
Question number two. A well-known media personality is reportedly in negotiations to host a new show across Sinclair stations despite widespread reports of misconduct. Which of the following shows could potentially be coming to Sinclair stations very soon?
The No Spin Zone with Bill O'Reilly.
Gross.
Boo.
Ew. The Beltway with Mark Halperin. Real boo, literal booze.
Fuck.
Beat the Markets with Martin Shkreli.
Sandra has chosen the
No Spin Zone
with Bill O'Reilly. Seriously, they are in apparent talks for him to go to Sinclair.
Yep.
Boo all you want.
God.
Yeah. Yeah, Sinclair. Fascinating.
Yep.
Diplomacy is a complicated, multifaceted undertaking. The fact that the President and Secretary of State are sending a mixture of messages is a good thing. It says to North Korea that the United States will stand strong in the face of any aggression, but is also open to finding a way to diffuse tensions.
It's like the biggest, the dumbest jock from your high school somehow made it.
And he was from any country, and I'd be like, yep.
But how is that guy not on local news?
They take that clip and they make every local station. That shit comes on people's local news, their unsuspecting local news, between like weather and sports. And then you get this weird marble mouth propaganda.
You know what? Marble mouth, because you can honestly assume he's from where you're from.
Really?
He's a shapeshifter.
Yes. And this is how dystopian futures start, with shit like that.
Oh, yeah. I think it starts with Donald Trump becoming president of the United States.
Honestly.
So if this Sinclair, like, I'm from Chicago, where Tribune Media is from. So our superstation, Channel 9, WGN, this place the Cubs, and Bozo the Clown, if you guys remember that.
Unfortunately.
That's going to replace Bozo the Clown and the Cubs.
WGN is one of the stations that could be the new home of a Bill O'Reilly program.
Our local news.
Oh, Chicago's not standing for that shit.
They're going to march. Chi-Town
ain't going for that bullshit.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens.
Forget, all our local news is absolutely lovely. It's always about badgers. Sometimes sad stories, like a badger with a tricky pregnancy, but it always comes true in the end. You know, just badger-based news. It's wonderful. There's no political bias. It's
so
great.
Badgers are from it. Where?
Oh, we're big on Badgers. One of the biggest controversies of last year was the Badger cull.
There's a car full of Badgers?
No, not a car. A cull. They were going to kill the Badgers.
What word are you saying?
There was no Badger.
Cull?
No. Brian May from Queen didn't want them to kill the Badgers. And other people wanted the culling.
Like thinning out.
Culling.
Their biggest,
I'm sorry.
The Badgers. Once you have a national health service, you turn to issues like too many Badgers.
Too many Badgers.
Honestly, the Badgers are very annoying.
No, seriously. It was
you
a problem.
You could say is they're
badgering. We were thinking of building a wall.
A culling.
The vice president and director of Sinclair Broadcasting, Frederick G. Smith, sent a contribution to a candidate the day after that candidate was charged with what crime?
Hunting deer out of season with a M4A1 assault rifle.
Body slamming a journalist after the journalist asked him a question about healthcare.
Building a vacation home on protected federal marshland after draining a section of Everglades National Park, resulting in the death of thousands of native North American badgers.
Tough break, Jack. That is weird. That is
so
weird. Very
so
weird.
It's exact word for word.
So weird, guys. That is spooky.
Right here on the
Halloween
paper.
Is coming, guys. That was spooky.
That was.
Sandra.
Number two. After,
you are
after
correct.
After smacking down the reporter.
I've never been so happy to be number two.
Yes.
It was the body slamming by Gianforte of a reporter. One final clip from Sinclair coming soon to your home.
They are the anomaly. You do not make legislation out of outliers. Our big issue is black African gun crime against black Africans. It is a tragedy. Go to Chicago, go to the cities run by Democrats for 40 years. Black young men are murdering each other by the bushel. This is a social
bushel! The motherfucking bushel!
societies. Legislation will not save lives.
I assume what he's talking about is African Americans, but
yes. Yeah.
Well,
black Africans.
African Americans.
Who says black Africans like that? Does he?
A racist who's a member of a Hungarian Nazi group.
Yeah,
is the most likely candidate.
Because you know what? When you say black Africans to like Trump people, that sounds double scary. Black and Africans?
Yeah, right?
That sounds double terrifying.
I just...
Anyway. Sinclair is terrible. Keep your wits about you.
Yeah, I mean, here's my question for like the must runs. Do you think it's like possible for the people who work there, like I'm thinking of Chicago specifically, for the anchors to be like, that was some bullshit. Next up, Badgers.
I hope so. I hope some of the...
This is fine. Don't listen to that guy. He's a Nazi. Coming up, Badgers.
I hope that that's exactly what happens. That's a hopeful note. When we come back, the rant wheel. Oh, and Sandra, you won the game.
You won the game.
Hey, guys, give it up for Sandra. She's going to get the gift card. She did a great job. She's wearing the merch.
Thank you.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
And we're back! Woo! Now for a segment called The Rant Wheel. Here's how it works. We spin the wheel wherever it lands. We rant on the topic at hand. This week, we have Bill O'Reilly blaming God for the sexual harassment allegations against him. We have Trump's obsession with golf, the show Lucifer. quote-unquote support dogs, Trump's fake Renoir, Blade Runner 2049, Brexit, and Dwayne The Rock Johnson being a Republican. I don't know. Let's spin the wheel. You like the wheel? Brian digs the wheel. It has landed on Trump's obsession with golf, which I believe was an Aquila suggestion.
That was me. Honestly, I read the best tweet this week. It was Cameron Esposito. She's amazing.
Friend of the pod.
And she tweeted that, you know, at this point, golf is complicit. I'm just so sick of all of the updates of every week, and it's like, his country is burning to the ground. Trump's killing it on the golf course. Like, honestly, I don't think
he's killing it either.
Yeah, he's like,
his golf swing is the worst.
I believe that his friends are those friends that are like, hole in one, man, and he didn't even look, and it's just like in the fucking waterway.
No, you know that golf caddy who turned into his social, you know, his social media manager runs ahead like Smithers and Mr. Burns and just
kicks it in.
Kicks it in. And it's like, wow, I can't believe it. Another, you beat Jack Nichols, you beat Jack Nicklaus's record.
I just hate Donald Trump. And I feel like he gives, like, golfing's already bad. How can you make something that's bad already, like, worse? Like, make golf good again. Make golf tolerable again.
I think his only contribution to golf that would be a positive one is as an obstacle in a crazy golf course. Don't you think he'd be amazing?
Like, oh my God. Like, you just have to hit it off.
And just the hair flapping up and down, and you've got to get it in before.
It's basically him just sort of, it hinges at the middle and he builds the wall. And then he comes back up. He builds the wall.
We could do a whole course.
And he comes back up.
I would love to build a Donald Trump putt-putt course with you.
That is a wonderful idea.
That could be your next event, bro.
Shit.
Those are technically easy to make. I remember for Comic-Con, Comedy Central made a mini putt-putt golf course, like, in the middle of this bar, and you could do it like a pop-up, some beers and shit.
I'll be front of house. I was just sort of greeting people, you know, ushering them in. I could dress up as a butler.
I would buy that.
Yeah.
You have a very Remains of the Day vibe.
Thank you. Yes. Repressed. Bury it deep.
You see?
I'll lock myself in my room, have a little cry. It's fine. Don't let the world see.
Yeah, you could do that.
There's a darkness inside. Don't let the mask slip. Don't let the mask slip. You're happy.
Oh, I was brought up by nannies.
That sounds great. Like, him doing
that. I
think
we fell in love just now. Did you guys feel it? We're in love. We're both very sad.
Oh. We don't want to talk about the Brexit again.
We want you to tell us about Brexit.
No, because you're all bored of Brexit. We're all bored of Brexit. I mean, you don't care about Brexit, do you? No one's paying any attention to Brexit.
I have a few questions.
Okay.
So,
Brian has questions.
You know, I traipsed and I just got back from Europe like a month ago. So I kind of, is that like you guys have to wait in the passport line with me now at the airport?
Yeah.
You know how all the Eurozone people are like, fuck you. And then.
Yeah.
So now you're in the long ass line with us?
I have friends who voted on that basis, that the non-EU passport queue was a lot shorter than the EU passport queue, and that's how they voted on Brexit. Like, people were, no one, because it was such a stupid thing, it was never going to happen. And now, what's happened is it plays into that British stubbornness. And my analogy for it is it's like when there's two lines for an ATM, hole-in-the-wall cash machine, and you commit to one queue, and then you see the other queue going down and down and down. But because we're British, we will not join that queue, even though it would be far quicker and easier. Yeah. We have made our bed, and we will lie in it, and we will remain in the queue that we have committed to, even though the reason it's not moving is because the hole-in-the-wall has run out of money.
Yeah. That's a you know great what? You know,
that's also I think, good. I think that's also how you lost India.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't. In Europe, that's one thing I do not do is go to ATMs in the side of buildings because I'm fearful. That's how the mob use those skimmers to get your information.
Yeah. What?
That could be a random ass pop up ATM. They take information and then you overseas broke as fuck.
You put your thing. You take your card out.
And they have all
you
your information.
You walk away
and
then the guy in the ATM suit pops out. And
It's that English humor.
The
I don't
multiples.
Get. Why are you a machine? I have a question. Is Brexit still happening? Or are you guys just like eating popcorn, watching our bullshit?
I think we're waiting, hoping that maybe it won't have to happen, but it's going to happen.
You think that actually? You think they're going to forget? Yeah. Just sort of waiting them out.
Just get me back out of it.
It never happened. All right, let's spin it again. It has landed on Blade Runner 2049. And now here's what I want to say. Now, this is not a rant at Blade Runner 2049. This is a rant at all of you people that didn't go out and see Blade Runner 2049. How many of you on a daily basis at your cafes and your quick serve restaurants with their
dog grooming places,
their dog grooming places, your ride share application locations, whatever you do in this godforsaken economy, have complained about how movies are so stupid and they're just for kids. Blade Runner 2049 comes out, and where the fuck are you? You're on your phones at home like animals. It didn't do well enough. Yeah. And it's a smart, cool sci-fi movie, and I want more of them. Yep. And I can't have them because it's America in 2017, and we can't have nice things.
Squad.
Guys, we had a lot of fun tonight. We learned a lot about badgers. The rest is a blur. Give it up for our awesome panel, Brian Babylon, Akila Hughes, Jack Whitehall. Have a great night, guys. Hi, what's your name?
I'm Daniel.
Hey, Daniel. Are you from Arkansas or do you just love Arkansas?
I'm from Arkansas, born and raised in the capital city.
Cool.
Yeah, great. My question to you is, what can us in the redistricted southern states that are just in a complete and utter stranglehold do?
That's a great question. I think it's a we get that question a lot. We get it from people in...
And I don't want to move to California. I love my state.
Well, I think that's good. We need you to stay in Arkansas. I think that's a great question. We get that question a lot, both from people in deep red places like Arkansas, where you're represented, like people like Tom Cotton, who is among the worst members of the Senate and just really a kind of disgraceful figure. And we hear it from people from places like California, which, you know, if my congressperson is on the right side of the issues, you know, what am I supposed to do? I would say that first of all, I'd say two things. One, local politics is local politics, and it isn't beholden to the same partisanship and polarization and kind of built-in biases that we have at the national level. Things would be very hard to win a Senate seat, but it's much different to fight for a city council seat or in a mayor's race where you could actually make a really big difference. I mean, you look at Trump pulling out of Paris and you say, oh, well, that's a disaster for the country. But then not just states and not just cities, but businesses, colleges, municipalities, they step up and they make changes at the local level. And you know, what do you do for a living? So you work for a medium-sized science center in Little Rock, Arkansas. I mean, that is a place that has a lot of influence in Little Rock. Where you do kids come to check? Is it a science? Is it kids come? So I mean, 120,000 kids come every year. So I mean, that's a place where you're making a huge difference and talking to kids every single day about the importance of science. And so I would say that like politics is a lot more than Donald Trump, and it's a lot more than Tom Cotton, and I think you can make a difference there every single day. And beyond that, things are changing, and things change fast. Bill Clinton is from a place called Hope. Doug Jones has a real chance in Alabama. Things turn on a dime. Donald Trump broke a lot of rules that weren't actually rules. And so a lot of the things we think are unbreakable, unchangeable, all of a sudden will be different one day. So, you know, keep up the fight. And I think that that's a place to leave it. Thank you guys all so much for coming out. Great show. Have a good night.
Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Save big money at Menards and stock up on your favorite Procter & Gamble products. We carry quality products from brands you can trust, like Dawn, Tide, Bounty, and more. Keep your home clean and stocked with essentials like paper towels, toilet paper, dish soap, and more. Save big money on Procter & Gamble products now through February 8th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money.